Good afternoon. This is the professor, Dr. Ron Daniels, president of the Institute of the Black World 21st Century and distinguished lecturer emeritus from York College, City University of New York. I welcome you to this November 23rd pre-Thanksgiving edition of Vantage Point here on 99.5 FM, that's WBAI, on the Pacifica Network in collaboration with ycradio.org. That's right, the York College radio station. Well, today we have two major objectives, one of which will be a brief tribute to Kabili Tayari, which I will undertake in just a moment. But we're going to also have some reflections, my reflections, that is, on the National Black Independent Political Party. And then we're going to open up the phones and ask you whether you think a Black Party is necessary, a third party, a rainbow party, or just to build inside the Democratic Party. That's the way we're going to roll with our show today. But first, Kabili Tayari, revolutionary in service to the people, has joined the ancestors. Across the many years, we became, that is, Kabili and I, friends, brothers, and comrades. I'm straining to recall when I first met Kabili. But most likely it was at the National Black Political Convention in Gary in 1972. He was a devotee of Emiri Baraka, the brilliant poet, playwright, political activist, whose son now is mayor of the city of Newark. And of course, the Congress of African People. I can always remember him having his sidekicks with him, Renee and Dadisi. They were ever present in his advocacy throughout the years. Kabili was fierce, let me say that again, fierce in the support for an opportunity, he was fierce in his support for or opposition to an issue, but he always was for the people. By that I mean, whatever side he took, he was strong, he was fierce in that regard. You never wanted to be on the opposite side of Kabili, because he knew how to, in fact, raise an issue. He was powerful, a powerful orator, and he knew how to fight. He was fierce. We came to share common views on a range of political issues and strategy and tactics, particularly through the organization, the National Black Independent Political Party, which I will be talking about later, where he served as a presiding officer of the Central Committee and the National Party Congress. NBIP was an organization that he loved dearly. He was always devoted to his beloved Jersey City, no question about it. He represented Jersey City, and an advocate for Black and brown people. Who would have thought, however, that the firebrand Kabili Tayari, the revolutionary, would become president of the NAACP? That's right, he did. But that was because he was a devotee also of Amakal Gabral. Gabral said that people do not just struggle for ideas, but for a change and transformation in their material condition. So Kabili was willing to go anywhere that in a principled manner where he could advocate for Black people. And in the NAACP, he found a vehicle with ordinary people, but also people of all walks of life who embraced his leadership and his strong advocacy. He was employed by the city of Jersey City and eventually was tapped to serve as the deputy mayor. This is Kabili, right? This brother who was the firebrand. Deputy mayor for economic and industrial development. Brilliant, a thinker, an organizer. I didn't even know this part of him existed until he got this job. He was a urban planner par excellence. And he also served a term as president of the Board of Education. He was a fierce advocate for quality of education for Black children. That was ever on his mind, how to serve the children, the community. That was always foremost in his mind. Well, community leaders and politicians of both political parties, Republicans and Democrats, and as well as community leaders are praising Kabili Tayari for his uncompromising dedication to racial and social justice. I know at one point he was even contemplating running for mayor of Jersey City. He kind of reached out to me to talk about it and so forth. And we weren't often in each other's company, but he would come over to the forums at the House of the Lord Church every now and then and speak and be a part of, because he had friends, all across this region and across the country. So he will be dearly, dearly, dearly missed. But again, fierce, uncompromising, tireless, relentless, all of these things speak to Kabiri Tayari. He has now joined the ancestors where he can be called on to support righteous causes. We know Kabiri can be called on to come into our presence to deal with righteous causes. So we say long live the spirit of comrade brother Kabiri Tayari. Well, I now want to turn to a discussion of the National Black Independent Political Party. And I said before, we'll have an opportunity for people to share their perspectives, hopefully, at the end of the program. We are actually sharing this in hopes that, at some point through IBW, people will have an opportunity to talk about it, to share their perspectives. And so I say from the beginning, these reflections on the National Black Independent Political Party are imperfect because they're my reflections. And, I have fading memory in the passage of time. And I really had little time to review the documents. In fact, I'm really profoundly thankful to Carlotta Scott, former aide to Congressman Ronald B. Dellums, who within the last 6 months sent me some documents where I'm going to quote today. And I'm glad she did, because there are names and places that I would have just not remembered. But I just felt it was important to say something about the National Black Independent Political Party, because this week marks the 40th anniversary, of the founding convention of the National Black Independent Political Party, which we called MBIP in Philadelphia. Now, let me first say the idea of a Black political party or a Black party was not new then or now. Black people have always faced in this country choices between which way to go, which party to support, which mainstream party. And we've also always faced the same dilemma, a choice between mainstream parties that do not fully represent our interests. And so we look at the Republican Party and its betrayal of Black people after having been a staunch supporter during, during Reconstruction, that betrayal in 1877 when they walked away and left us to the devices of the Southern Ku Klux Klan and the White Brotherhood. And it wasn't exactly that way, but nonetheless, they walked away so they could get the presidency, Rutherford B. Hayes out of Ohio. And of course, that meant that if you look at the Democratic Party is the party that, in fact, was eager to disenfranchise Black folk and to put us, quote, back into our place, send us back to the plantation. They were not in favor of democratic rights for Black people. And so this is not a new phenomenon. But in the era of the 60s and the 70s and the 80s, particularly the 70s and the 80s, it was the time for the eruption of Black consciousness, Black power, and Black nationalism was very much in the air. And thoughts about the Black political party was in the air. In fact, it was a political scientist whose name I don't remember who would take a poll every year, and something like 60 to 70% of Black people would say they were in favor of an independent Black party, if you will. And so, again, not a new idea. But the roots of the National Black Independent Political Party can be traced to the 1972 National Black Political Convention. That's where there's an evolution that begins there. And it's interesting to just read from this document, this document, my faded copy of the National Black Political Agenda. And we hope to be able to replicate these at some point. But there's some passages here that I think are illustrative that we should just, I'm just going to do a quick read on. And it says here, that both parties have betrayed us whenever their interests conflicted with ours, which is most of the time. And whatever our forces were unorganized, dependent, quiescent, and compliant. Then I flip over to the next page, and it's a section that says, we are the vanguard. And so they say the challenge thrown to us here at Gary It is the challenge to consolidate and organize our own Black role as the vanguard and the struggle for a new society. To accept this challenge is to move independent Black politics. There can be no equivocation on that issue. History leaves us no choice. White politics does not and cannot change, make the changes we need. In other words, they're saying an independent force is necessary. Even in Gary, in the declaration that was issued, the preamble to the National Black Political Agenda. And so Gary was one of the great gatherings of my lifetime, one of the great gatherings in the history of Black people in this country. More than 10,000 people gathering in Gary, Indiana, invited by, of course, Mayor Richard Gordon Hatcher, who was one of the presiders, Charles C. Diggs of Michigan, the congressman, head of the Subcommittee on Africa, and of course, Imam Emeri Baraka, heading up the Congress of African People from the great city of Newark. And in that convention, there were many things that happened, but among them was the call from the Louisiana delegation, because the question is, what do we do after this convention? What will be the continuation mechanism? Well, the Louisiana delegation had an idea. In fact, if I recall correctly, it was my dear beloved friend, Emtemisi St. Julian, who rose to the floor to call to put a motion on the floor for a Black political party. Well, it didn't have enough support. And so in the Ohio delegation, where I served as a co-convener, I actually was instrumental in shaping a compromise, a way forward that was not the party, but at least had the potential for an independent instrument. And that instrument was the development of the National Black Political Assembly, if you will, the NBPA. And the NBPA, you know, had several meetings. We can't go through the whole history of the National Black Political Assembly. It had a convention in Little Rock, Arkansas in 1974, and eventually in Cincinnati, which I'll talk about in a minute, in 1976. There was a gradual defection of elected officials from the National Black Independent Political Party, primarily because the nationalists and Pan-Africanists, the sentiment, the radical sentiment of the time was ahead of where many of the traditional organizations and many Black elected officials were. And in fact, many Black, almost all of the Black elected officials were in the Democratic Party. So the idea of being in an independent party was kind of like, how do we do that? But also there were two resolutions, a resolution calling for a Palestinian state and a resolution which also called for community control of education, which a lot of people couldn't deal with that. I mean, the NAACP and some of those organizations, that was not what they were looking for. And then Black elected officials at that time, felt that they were the real political leaders. There was no space for these activist political folk. And so there was a tension around that. But some stayed for quite a while. But the bottom line is, eventually, there was a gradual leaving, defection of folks, but elected officials, some of whom stayed on to the very end. But by 1975, in a meeting held in New York City, there was a call for something called the 76 Strategy. The 76 Strategy called for an independent candidate for president of the United States, again, reflecting that sentiment for independence. There were several people, Richard Hatcher, Dick Gregory, John Conyers, and Ronald V. Dellums were among those persons who we thought might be willing to run as independent candidate for president of the United States. Julian Bond was another one. In fact, Julian Bond said he was ready to do it, actually backed out. At the end of the day, to make a long story short, in a convention in Cincinnati in 1976, it was a nominating convention, full-fledged. But Congressman Ronald B. Dellums, who really wanted to create an alternative. In fact, in 1974, in Little Rock, he had said, we need to pose the vital alternative. He was really dissatisfied with the direction of the Democratic Party and so forth, and wanted to pose a different kind of direction. But he was advised that if he took this step, he would really be destroying any opportunity to be effective within the Democratic Party. White guys may be able to do that. And I say guys, because at that point it was like predominantly and unfortunately men in the Democratic Party and the parties in general. He said if a white man ran, they would forgive him, but they would never forgive Dellums, which proved to be correct because he later came on to be the chairman of the House Armed Services Committee and did some incredible work. Brilliant, brilliant brother. The conscience of the Congress, the Honorable Ronald B. Dellums, who later on went on to help lead the struggle to divest, have the congressional resolution to divest U.S. assets in South Africa. So Dellums told us, this is not my moment. Broke our hearts. So the question was, where do we go from here? 1976. And the NBPA continued for a while. And, we kept going on and trying to find a way to survive. But it became clear by 1980 that we needed to change directions. And so in 1980, it was the final Black political convention in New Orleans. And it was convened to coincide with the birthday of the Honorable Marcus Mosiah Garvey. And in that convention, the debate was to continue MBA, the NBPA, or to form a party. I remember that the Louisiana delegation, who ironically had called for the party in 1972, because of Father A.J. McKnight, really, really excellent brother, had some concerns about how it might affect some of the work he was doing. And he really was an honorable man, really tremendous. The founder of Economic Development a project, I forget the name of it offhand, but did some incredible work. And I also remember Nelson Johnson. Nelson Johnson was an organizer, and it's interesting to see Nelson Johnson now playing such an instrumental role in Greensboro. But then he was like rough, So he was obstructing, he was disrupting, he was doing all kinds of things. I can't even remember what his position was. I just remember Nelson Johnson raising a whole lot of hell in this convention in New Orleans. But at the end of the day, the decision was to transform the National Black Independent Political, the National Black Political Assembly, the NBPA, to an independent party and to convene in Philadelphia for a founding convention within 90 days. And that 90 days brought it up to the week before Thanksgiving in 1980. It's interesting to note that Ben Chavis of the Wilmington 10, they've been battling for years and years and years to get him emancipated. He had been emancipated. And so he put forth the resolution, one that I actually drafted, to call for the party. We wanted to give him the honor of calling for a national, a Black independent political party. Why Philadelphia, for example? Because Philadelphia was a strong chapter, at least the eastern section of Pennsylvania. And Philadelphia, strong supporter of the National Black Political Assembly, under the leadership of the person they always call my twin, Thad Mathis. I mean, an incredible brother, Thad Mathis. Probably may have been the president of the local chapter of the National Association of Black Social Workers. Certainly was widely respected at the national level. I mean, he is just one of the most principled and able, brilliant thinkers that I've ever met. And so Thad Mathis was there. And there was a history in the city of Philadelphia of convening these Black Agenda conferences. I mean, there had been some, even back to a former president of the NAACP, whose name I'm blanking on, had years ago talked about creating independent structures. So there was this independent streak in Philadelphia politics. And I have to raise the name of State Representative Dave Richardson, certainly was a part of that overall streak. But there was also a strong core of skilled members of the NBPA in that city that also played an instrumental role. And I call the names of Sylvia Wright, who, if I recall correctly, had a travel agency, but also was a events planner. Also, Zahara Simmons, a former member of SNCC, and who is still out there organizing in a major way with the SNCC. The SNCC project. Alicia T, I think. I'm pulling in by memory, but this is, she was the daughter of a minister. And oh, we call her a songbird. Not only skilled and gifted, but an incredible voice. And then the inimitable, brilliant Butch Cotman, among others. And so there was a base there. there was tremendous excitement about this National Black Independent Political Party. I mean, I don't know what the numbers were. It's probably at least 1,000. Hundreds of people converged on Philadelphia for the founding of the National Black Independent Political Party. Again, the weekend before Thanksgiving. That's interesting. This is just an aside. We found out that hotel rates were cheaper because people are getting ready to travel the next week. So if you did something the week before Thanksgiving, you might get a good hotel rate. That's something we even do now with the Institute of the Black World 21st Century. But setting that aside, people were welcomed. It was like, I mean, you're talking about family. People were putting up people in their homes, providing meals for them, providing transportation. It was just, y'all come, we're going to get this on. And we did. It was difficult, though, to figure out what we were going to do, actually. How are we going to get this done? But we settled on two or three structures, in my recollection. A charter review commission to talk about coming up with the charter. A national party organizing committee to begin to talk about how to build the chapters out. And to set a date by which we would come back together and then adopt a charter and begin the process of getting officers together and moving it forward. I do remember that Manning Marable, because nobody can say who's going to be the spokesperson. Well, it ended up being Manning Marable. Manning Marable ended up being, and many people know Manning Marable, he ended up being the temporary spokesperson. Well, one of the things that characterized the National Black Independent Political Party at all levels was tremendous amounts of debate. Debate, endless debate. We would drive miles and miles to get to a meeting, and we would meet all into the night, trying to figure out what to do, to reconcile different points of view and how to move this structure forward. Rich debate, intense debate, dedicated debate in that regard. Well, there was the adoption of a charter which had a three-tiered leadership to it. National co-chairs, I call out the name of Dr. Elsa Barkley Brown. If I recall correctly, the director, I think, of the Black Studies Department, University of Virginia. Maybe that may not be correct, but certainly she was in Black Studies, and I was her counterpart. I was elected eventually to be the national co-chair. National representatives, Barbara Arnwine, who is now our voter protection person par excellence, former executive director of the Leadership Conference on the National Lawyers Committee on Civil Rights, I think it is. And then Ben Chavis. Ben Chavis was the other national rep. And then we had two presiding officers of the National Party Congress and the Central Committee. That was Kikora Ratazasimu out of Detroit. I always trip over her name. And Thad Mathis. And our treasurer was none other for the first round, Zahara Simmons. To call out the names of others who eventually served in those positions, Deborah Watkins eventually also served as co-chair out of Dayton. Kabili Tayari became a presiding officer at some point in the evolution and development of the organization. And Kathy Fluellen, another incredible, brilliant, able mind, became a presiding officer. And Smooth Brother, accountant out of, I think it was Raleigh, North Carolina, Bob Wells, became the treasurer. We had regional representatives. Out of the Northeast was Gail Austin out of Pittsburgh, Muntu Matsumela out of New York. The Atlantic region, Mary Benz from Maryland, Damu Smith, y'all know Damu, out of Washington, D.C. Deep South, Lawrence Smith and Ronald Ivey. Midwest was Malele Yasube, I think out of Chicago, Dean Lovelace, dear friend out of Dayton. And the Far West was Mel Mason, I think from a city called Seaside, if I recall correctly. As I said before, there was great enthusiasm at the launch of the party. People came out, I mean, there were just people coming out of the woodwork for this National Black Independent Political Party. Tremendous enthusiasm. But there were also issues that we had to discuss and became a part of the challenges that we faced. And those challenges had to do with ideology. They had to do with what would be the nature of this organization. Would it be a mass party or would it be a vanguard party? The other issue in terms of programmatic work, would it be an electoral formation primarily, or would it be a non-electoral formation. In fact, it was interesting, in 1984, we could not agree to even support the campaign of the Reverend Jesse Lewis Jackson as he last launched this electrifying crusade for president of the United States. That was a major issue. But there were other issues as well. And let me just say, at the early meetings, there was such enthusiasm. But as people debated, as different people came with these sharp ideological discussions, a lot of ordinary people said, well, I don't know what all this is about. When y'all decide what it is, let me know. Because people were just having sharp differences in these different cities across the country. So Washington, D.C., where, you know, folks gathered, there may have been 300 or 400 people at the first meeting. By the time we kept going and on, it was maybe down to 30 or 40 true believers who were still fighting over what will the National Black Independent Political Party be, vanguard, mass base. Can we get into elections or not? What can be our programmatic thrust? All of these things became important issues which we were confronted with. The other issue, which became, I think, probably the overriding issue, was the issue of what we called divided loyalties. Divided loyalties and the party within the party contradiction. This was particularly true with the Socialist Workers Party, which was once a major force as a third party in American politics, to their credit. A Socialist Party, to be sure, which had, you know, I mean, that's not, I'm not saying that pejoratively, predominantly white. But we found ourselves in the National Black Independent Political Party confronted with a scenario where people were bringing their own ideological perspectives, even from predominantly white formations, inside MBIP, trying to make MBIP an appendage of their thing. And Socialist Workers Party, SWP, was one of them, but there were others as well. So these battles were waging inside of the National Black Independent Political Party. And the SWP was a really, really difficult culprit. So let me I'm just going to read you part of, again, a document that was sent to me, which was, I had almost forgot some of this. So it talks about what were some of these issues. It says this relatively modest measure, this is skipping over something because there had been a time when we said, okay, you know, you can't be an officer of another organization and be an officer of MBIP. That was one way of trying to control and curtail this issue. So it said this relatively modest measure on the crucial divided loyalties issues proved to be inadequate in the face of continued and mounting transgressions and violations of MBIP. It's MBIP's organization and political integrity by SWP cadre operating as members of MBIP. Over the course of MBIP's brief history, clear SWP violations of MBIP self-determination and political integrity have included but not been limited to the printing of MBIP charters without consultation or permission from MBIP, the printing and circulation of flyers on several occasions which were misleading or directly implied MBIP endorsement of SWP's campaign. And it pointed out this was happening in a couple of cities which I'll not mention. SWP cadre utilizing MBIP's local units as SWP fronts and or gaining substantial hegemony over a number of MBIP locals. Then it goes on to say, refusal to accept criticism and positively act to cease and desist in the violations after repeatedly being warned by the Central Committee and meetings between the representatives of the leadership of MBIP and SWP in June of 1982. The drive for hegemony and domination of SWP cadre grew to be of particular concern as conflicts and disruptions at both the national level resulted in loss of membership. As I said before, members started dropping out. After more than 3 years of party building experience in general and the perplexing problems of divided loyalties most acutely manifested by the arrogant and destructive behavior of SWP, the Central Committee of MBIP felt compelled to act. The SWP was expelled from, finally, the National Black Independent Political Party. But I cite that because that was very debilitating. We might have been able to overcome some of these other issues, but that resulted in a paralysis, which was very, very, very deep. That notwithstanding, the National Black Independent Political Party, I think, had some achievements and some accomplishments, and more than I can cite in this short little reflections. One was the principle of gender balance and equity, and the education of brothers, and the zero tolerance for sexism and chauvinism. And I'm telling you, you've often heard me, and some of the folks know, I tell people all the time, I was one of the persons who was mentored with tough love, and I do mean love, but it was tough, about this issue of gender balance and equity. That's why you saw co. But it was also about understanding how to empower women to be in roles of leadership in ways that men did not understand. For example, it was brought to our attention that, you know, men just get up and they go to these conferences. Well, if you're a single mother, that's not so easy. You got children, and what do you do with the children? And so men just go participate. They don't even think about this. Well, one of the things that got innovated within the National Black Independent Political Party was something called a children's program. So at some of our national party congresses, we actually had a parallel program where mothers could bring their children, and in some instances, mothers and fathers together, or if it's a single dad for that matter, but particularly this was, you know, the issue has really been, you know, with the so many men in prison and so many other different things, women could bring their children, and we would have a program where all day long, the children would be in enriched programming and whatnot, meals, the whole nine yards, so women could fully participate, feeling comfortable. They weren't worried about it. That was an example of this emphasis on gender equity and teaching Black men, you know, how to rise above sexism and chauvinism. And I'm reminded of Andrea James, a sister who works with us with the Institute of the Black World 21st Century. You know, there's a lot of emphasis on Black men in prison, but she brought to our attention the perspective of, look, when a woman is in prison, that's a whole different phenomenon in terms of impacts on families. And so, again, I am profoundly thankful to our sisters who gave me some tough love. I haven't completely recovered. I'm not what I ought to be, but I'm a lot better because of that tough love. The other thing that I think was a major accomplishment was, and I think there are many people who just stressed the whole notion that we're not at a deficit. That we are, as Mabel Thomas once said, we are the leaders we've been looking for. We have the capacity to lead. People at all levels have the capacity to lead. That we as a people have the capacity to govern. I mean, even though we didn't ultimately resolve all the conflicts and so forth, that was something that was a constant theme in the National Black Independent Political Party. The other thing is, we actually had some major international engagement. I can recall we sent a delegation. I don't remember what the occasion was, but we sent a strong delegation to Cuba in order to participate in a major conference there. And there's some debate between MBUF and NBIP, but I think we took the largest delegation to Grenada in support of the People's Revolutionary Government of Grenada. I can recall on the radio blasting out, we have this delegation coming. I think we took almost 100 people to Grenada for the People's Revolutionary Government under the leadership of Maurice Bishop and our dear beloved friend, Don Rojas, who was the press secretary for Maurice Bishop, who is now the director of communications for the Institute of the Black World 21st Century. I would like to leave with this major lesson, a lesson or two. One, and I've always carried this lesson, I think a fundamental error we made was what I call the y'all come approach. Everybody, yeah, just all come to Philadelphia for the convention and we're going to figure this out. I would never, ever do that again. And what I've learned in other convenings is a different approach. First, you need to get like-minded people together because that's difficult. Who are relatively on the same page and have the same vision and the same mission. Create the principles of unity out of that and the platform, and then ask everybody who agrees with that to come. And if you don't agree, go create something that's reflective of your view. Because otherwise what happens is you spend endless time fighting over what is the nature of the principles of unity or the platform. And what will the program be? Because if your principles of unity and if you can't agree on that, then you can't agree on program. So there was a paralysis around that. And I think the lesson is it doesn't have to be that way. And that's the lesson I've learned in any gathering that I've been involved in or I helped to convene. We laid out the principles first and then say, y'all come. And then for those who don't agree, that's fine. Go organize your own piece. And let's see which one, take it to the people, take it to the masses, let the masses decide. But we end up crippling each other, over making sure that it's our view, raising war by resolution, making sure that every word is correct. And that really means that people aren't interested in that because you're not touching, as Gabral would say, the ideas are not resonating in terms of the lives of the people. So I think these are some critical lessons. They're just my reflections. I'm sure that there were others who hopefully at some point will actually be able to gather some folks and hear all kinds of views. But the National Black Independent Political Party was just too important and the role that I sort of played in it, not to just take my radio show and to talk about it today, because again, there are people who have no clue that a National Black Independent Political Party ever existed. Hopefully we can correct that in the near future by gathering some of the veterans who are still around and can do a symposium, a webinar, or something, have it recorded. There is a student, a former colleague, who wrote a book using my records, and I didn't write a book, he wrote a book. And there are other books that were likely written as well. So those are my thoughts about the National Black Independent Political Party. It was an awesome experience and one which can indeed inform some of our aspirations today. And I want to open up the phone so that people can actually call in and to share their perspectives. And I better get my apparatus set up here because I ran into some technical difficulties, but there are two basic things that we want to do in terms of our Q&A. And that is to our audience, and we have about 20 minutes left or so. Ooh, yeah, about 15 minutes left now. We'd like short comments on your view on, is it time for a Black political party? Is it time for a Black political party? A Black-led rainbow party is another potential option. Or do we just strengthen the Democratic Party? Do we need a third party? So you can call us at 212-209-2881, 212-209-2881. I'm sorry, I got the wrong number, It's 212-209-2877, 212-209-2877. And by the way, if you want to do a comment to Kabili, you can also do that as well. If you want to just call in and give a brief tribute to Kabili, you can do that as well. Once again, the number is 212-209-2877, 212-209-2877. Again, is it time for a Black party? A Black-led party, which might be rainbow by that, a Black party that includes other people of color, or just a third party like the Greens and I guess the Labor Party. There are other potential third party formations out there. Or should we just figure doing inside-outside strategy and try to strengthen the Democratic Party? Again, 212-209-2877. 212-209-2877. Or if you'd like to call and give a brief comment, a brief tribute, it's brief. We only got a few minutes to Brother Comrade Kabili. Please feel free to do that. Let's see if we have some callers. Good afternoon. You're on Vantage Point.
Yes, good afternoon to the beloved radio WBAI family. I want to speak to the issue of principles. every time you, Ron, say a certain name, a compound name, you are evidencing both lack of principles and betrayal. When you said, oh, that was a mistake, but it sucks.
Excuse me, we have a specific set of questions we're dealing with, and we're not going to re-litigate whatever your grievance is. That's not what this is about. Let's go to our next caller, 212-209-2877. 212-209-2877. Reflections on the National Black Independent Political Party. Is it time for a black party? Is it time for a black-led rainbow party, third party? Or should we just do an inside strategy with the Democrats? And if you want to give a comment on Comrade Brother Kabili, who is now an ancestor, please feel free to do so. Good afternoon. You're on Vantage Point.
How you doing, Brother Ron?
Doing good.
How you doing? Okay. Hey, Brother Ron, listen, I definitely think it's time for the black Americans in this country to invest in a new political party. Perhaps you can come up with something, because I have no idea why everyone fell in love with Joe Biden and act as though he is the next John Brown, or even Kamala Harris, as she's the next Harry Truman. I've been very disappointed with the Democratic Party. I think they've been taking us for granted. I think you also know that, too. And if we continue going down this path, we're not going to make any progress. Now, I love Brother King, but honestly, I think integration has failed us. I don't know if you agree with that, but I think that integration has failed. We need to move into a different course, because we're now in the 21st century, and we have to plan something for our future, the kids coming up behind us, because we're leading them in the wrong direction, I think. And I also think that the Democratic Party has definitely let us down. So that's my opinion.
All right.
I respect you highly, brother. I hear you. Okay.
All right. Thank you. Really appreciate it. Again, anybody who wants to give a brief comment on Comrade Brother Kabili's, who's a new ancestor, can do so as well. But primarily reflections on the National Black Independent Political Party that I just laid out, just giving. 40 years ago, we were meeting in Philadelphia to found the National Black Independent Political Party. And so the idea is, if you think it's time for a black party, give us a call. Black-led rainbow party, third party, strengthen the Dems, some alternative course. We have just about 10 minutes left. 212-209-2877. 212-209-2877. Lines are open. You get instantly into the conversation if you call right now. Again, 40 years ago. And I wanted to do that because again, there are people who have no awareness, unfortunately. But you can Google it today. Google, that's one thing good about Google. That's Google, the National Black Independent Political Party, and you'll see all kinds of stuff will come up. So do that. Google the National Black Independent Political Party. Again, 212-209-2877. 212-209-2877. Your reaction, we talked about the fact that there's always been a sense among black people that we needed a different kind of party. None has really completely fulfilled our aspirations. And so that was one of the sentiments behind the formation of the National Black Independent Political Party. And I hear some of the young brothers and sisters echoing that call today, but it would be good to revisit the experiences of these parties, particularly the National Black Independent Political Party. 212-209-2877. 212-209-2877. A black party, black-led rainbow party. Of course, the Rainbow Coalition was what emerged for a time out of the campaign of the Reverend Jesse Lewis Jackson. It was a third force, potentially, with different folk, with blacks, red, black, yellow were there. So that was a part of that. Let's go to our listening audience. Good afternoon. You're on Vantage Point.
Good afternoon. I think it's time that we go back to those days, because the Democratic Party has continually failed the black community. If you remember, we also had the Freedom Party in 2010, even though it was short-lived. But it addressed our need more than the Democratic Party. So it's definitely time to, you know, have our own party, because if you remember, Cuomo, you know, he excluded black people and brown people, so therefore we started the Freedom Party in 2010. So basically, I think the time is now to go back to that.
Okay. All right. You believe we have to go back to it. All right, let's go to our next caller. Again, the number is 212-209-2877. Good afternoon. You're on Vantage Point. Good afternoon. You're on.
I believe that we should have another party, and I'm more inclined for a people's party.
Mm.
Because there are multiple people who could identify with a people's party, I feel.
So what about the Green Party? Is the Green Party, it's composed of different folk. Is that not satisfactory?
If there's a Green Party, I'm for that also. But I think a third party is necessary in this country.
All right. Well, let me just say, in New York, we should remind people that there are a lot of, not all of them are progressive, but there's a lot of different parties other than the Democratic Party in the state of New York. But one of them that is, you have the Green Party. I hope and pray that they were able to secure their ballot status and hold on to it. But you also have the Working Families Party, the Working Families Party, which frankly I have some experience with and feel supportive of, because they have a strong black base, but they also are working with black and brown and Latinos and Asians and indigenous folk, as well as progressive whites. So, you know, you might want to look up the Working Families Party as well. Let's go to our next caller. Good afternoon. You're on Vantage Point.
Good afternoon, Dr. Daniels. This is Pastor Gilliard calling from Jersey City, New Jersey.
Yes.
Just wanted to give some words of condolences and recognition for Brother Kabili Tayeri.
Yes.
I had the opportunity of meeting him at my installation as pastor in Jersey City in 2004. And he embraced me when I came into the city, and he and I had a warm relationship ever since. And even with some personal things, we were able to share some time together. And I, when I found out that he had made his transition, the scripture that I always use when I talk about people who have graced this earth with their presence is from the Gospel of John, chapter 1, where it talks about the light that lights everyone that comes into the world. Kabili had that light. He shared that light. We have seen the light.
Yes.
And we are grateful to God for the light that lit our path. So may his spirit and memory live on forever. Brother Kabili Tayeri.
Amen and Ashe. Thank you so much, Pastor. Really appreciate it. Yes, great brother, comrade, fierce advocate for the people. Let's take, we have time for two more callers. Good afternoon. You're on Vantage Point.
Hello, how you doing? My name is Keith Hamilton. I'm in Newark, New Jersey. And I know you're doing some good work with our brother, Ras Baraka, the mayor.
Yes.
I just wanted to say that, you know, all politics are local. And I think that we really got to work hard and have some type of convention to make the determination about how we want to move as a people in the United States in politics. Too many people are coming up with plans and all of these things to kind of, you know, showcase, you know, some type of opportunistic type of thinking about, you know, what the way that we should move. But the only way we're going to do it is if we do it together in a unified fashion in some type of convention, and we struggle and struggle and struggle till we get to the things that we want. Thank you.
All right. Yeah, well, the Movement for Black Lives just had a Black Independent Political Convention over the summer. A lot of people may not have heard about it, but they did. They had a virtual Black political convention. They were actually emulating the Gary Convention. And there have been other kinds of formations as well. I think the idea, I mean, I think, and there's, you know, there's the agenda with the, what is it, the Million Man March. Dr. Karinga was reminding of that. So there are really a lot of agendas out there, and quite frankly, we agree probably on 95% of each of them. Whether or not there can be the kind of convention we had in Gary or not is I think is it was a unique event that I don't think ever will be replicated. But I do think there are ways in which particular sectors can come together and talk about what their interests are and then find ways to try to articulate that to the public. Let's take our final. Well, I don't see. Good afternoon. You're on Vantage Point. Good afternoon. You're on Vantage Point. You're on, yes. I had a little faux pas here. You're on, yes.
This is Larry Hammond. I just wanted to say a word about Kabylie.
This is Dr. Ron Daniels.
Hold on a minute.
As soon as possible.
Okay, it looked like you're experiencing a slight bit of technical difficulties there on your end, Professor. While you get yourself situated, hold on, caller. You will be the last caller. You'll get your say. I just wanted to make sure about that. This is WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org online. You're in tune to Vantage Point with the Professor, Ron Daniels, and that is heard Mondays at 3 p.m. So hopefully I gave you enough time where you can, you're back situated.
We're ready. Let's go. Chairman Larry Ham is calling. Well, you got about 2 minutes. What I have to do is disable my phone and doing all these Zoom calls back and forth. Sometimes I remember, sometimes I don't. I forgot. So I got interrupted by one of these bogus calls. Anyway, go right ahead, Chairman Ham.
Well, Dr. Daniels, first of all, I want to thank you for that very interesting presentation on the National Black Independent Political Party. That's the first time I had really heard that in-depth analysis. But my main reason was to call and salute my brother, Kabylie Tayari. He's a friend of many years. And as you know, Dr. Daniels, all three of us, you, Kabylie, and I, were delegates to the National Black Political Convention in Gary, Indiana, in 1972. That's how far back I go with Kabylie. But we became really close in the 1980s and probably around the work of the first Jackson campaign, the campaign of 1984. And then we just got closer for the years that followed that. I was saddened to hear of his passing. He was a freedom fighter. He was a soldier in the Black liberation struggle, and we will miss him greatly.
Well, we're out of time, actually, Larry. I thought we had a little bit of time than we did. So, but because I'm looking at my clock, but I'm looking also at my cell phone that tells me we are out of time. But I really appreciate that tribute to Kabylie coming from you. We may have a time. We may have time in subsequent programs in order to pick up on that. But I thought I cut off my phone and I didn't. So I'm having a rough day here. Anyway,
so I guess I should just start that theme music, huh?
99.5 FM. We appreciate the conversation we've had today, and it's been a little difficult because I didn't shut off my phone. But anyway, we hope that the tribute to Kabylie Tayari was appreciated. Certainly appreciate the pastor who called in. Appreciate Larry Hamm for calling in. Appreciate all the callers who had perspectives on the question of whether a new political party, third party, or whatever. And we'll see you again next week here on Vantage Point.